السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. Saturday morning, it is the 14th of November. The end of another year already. The end of another year already. Well, with us this morning in the studio, we have Ali Mangli. Ali, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana Sajjati Mawlin to all our wonderful listeners on this beautiful Saturday morning. Last night, there was a little bit of rain. And every time I notice with this, you know, WhatsApp groups and stuff like that, that if you get a little bit of rain and everybody gets so excited and it just stops, yeah. So I suppose we're managing to do something, inshallah, that is that. Let us continue with our tawbah and our istighfar.
Mm. Like you heard Faisal said about the istighfar challenge that Radio Islam has. Something very important. And yesterday somebody said there was, in Russia there were storms.
Mm.
In the afternoon, I don't know.
Well, today,
you're saying also from the messages that you get this way, that way, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, the most important thing is that the rain doesn't really need to fall here where we are. Because it needs to fall in those areas where it's going to fill up the catchment area so that the dams can
That's the important thing.
Yeah. Inshallah. So, yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean if the rain is not falling here and it's falling somewhere else, that it's not going to benefit you, yeah.
Mm.
But shukr alhamdulillah, like that, we've got a good lineup, inshallah. Today we'll be speaking to Brother Luqman Mia from Saudi's Angus Corner a little bit later on. And then I've got an interview set up with Adil Matwadia from Springs area. And he's also involved in the website Kapom. We did feature Kapom on our program some time back. Yeah, it's been a long time. And just that recently they've done some major facelift to the website. And I was checking it out, so I contacted him and said, why don't you come on and tell us a little bit about it. He'll also be talking about some competitions that they will be running in the near future, inshallah. On your side, let's hear about the fishing.
Which fishing are you talking about?
You haven't been. I can see, you know, this. I can actually see you that, like, that luster comes out of your skin color, like if you don't go fishing.
No, last weekend I was supposed to have went.
Mm.
Last weekend, I'm trying to think, I don't know why.
Last weekend I was at
something came up, right?
Yeah.
And this weekend again we planned to go.
And then?
Again something came up, but my nanny also is not too well. She got admitted into hospital on Thursday.
Make
so
it easy for her, inshallah.
This is one of the main reasons that is cancelled. So, inshallah, hopefully, we make lots of dua for next weekend.
Let Allah give a full recovery and make her healthy, inshallah. Last week, like I said, we were at Willow Express, so we were on the Vaal River. I forgot to mention to you last weekend that one of the things I wanted to do was follow a very primitive method of fishing that the workers on the farm use. You know, speaking of like one guy's name is Daniel.
First tell us, yeah. This will be something interesting, right?
Well, I hope so.
Okay, so let's just go for a quick break, right? Osama said we only allowed to do our intro. Nana is going to shout us. As soon as we come back, we will listen to that story. So we want our listeners out there to sit back there and just wait for this story of Adil's.
Get the popcorn.
And also, we want them, if anybody had something like this here,
yes,
they must call us.
Please, yes.
And tell us about it.
Let's give out the number.
011-854.
1548.
He remembers the number. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. It is the Screaming Reels program. And so before the break, yes, we said to our listeners that Adil was going to tell us one very old story.
Ah, you make it sound like it's such a... it's not an old story. I'm just saying that when I was at Willow Express, we went... The camp that I did last week. You know, in the holidays, we did a camp. Mm. And then after I went back to Willow, and it was so quiet. So I was looking at those two guys at work there, Happy and Daniel, you know. And I was just telling them, you know, you guys, do you realize you have the best job in the world? So he was asking me about how. I say you get up in the morning, you go for a swim in the river, you take the canoe, you know, you come back. Then they get this...
Is it every morning?
No, this is not their way. But obviously, it's like a beautiful prison, really, if you have to stay in a place like that. and there's no people around. They say they actually wait for people to come on the weekend so that they can actually interact or even just see other people, because it can become very lonely.
Yes, 100%.
But I was monitoring the way they do fishing, because sometimes they like to catch fish so that they can eat. And they were using a very, very primitive method of catching the fish. So he had these lines that he picks up from the, you know, fishermen go. And this is another thing about our anglers. We must learn to pick up, you know, the lines and the dirt and stuff like that, that in the area that we use when we go fishing. Because it becomes harmful for the animals, the other animals that are in that area. But what he done was he picked up the lines and he joined all these lines together to make one long, strong line. Okay, so it's like recycling, if you really want to think about it. And then he found this one old hook. Somebody must have just left it on the rocks or something. You know how it is. I know with my kids, I have to always go and scan the area properly after we fish, because they take things and they just, you know, it falls on the floor and inside, yeah, and somebody can get hurt with those things. So you got to be extra careful. And
besides that, I mean, you know, after you're fishing, you should take your stuff away. Things are expensive.
That's the thing. Well, a child doesn't really understand how expensive something is.
Sure.
I'm sure Luqman, when he comes on, he'll be able to give you an idea of what fishing tackle costs today. So it's something you gotta look after. But to cut a long story short, so he, you know, they were fishing for barbel, okay, and he was actually using sometimes, you know, the nests. You have these babies that fall down and they basically they die because there's nobody to look. They look for those little birds and they use that as the bait.
Okay.
Yeah, and then while I was there that time, I mean, the guy caught about, it must have been just about under 10 kilos with that hand line, with that broken joint lines and everything.
Oh,
you know, he caught it up. And I was walking, scanning the area, and I saw this line pulling, so I started picking up, and he wasn't far. This Daniel was busy sweeping or raking the area or something like that. And I'm telling him, hey, come Daniel, there's something on
happening
there.
Here.
So he said, no, boss, pull it out. So I started pulling, and you know, it's not like a fishing rod.
Of course.
It's like you're fishing because you want to eat.
Sure.
But that was something amazing, because we take it for granted. We forget that, you know, we've got our fancy fishing rods and stuff like that, and here the guy just comes and he's, well, they in the area, so they know now what baits they've been using. And but please, don't go kill the chicks that are in the nests.
You say you're going to catch yourself, yeah, and kids you about.
They normally wait for, you know, if you look and scan around the areas, many times you find these little birds that have fallen out of the nests, and that, yeah, they use that as bait.
But, you know, like you said, the thing is that they do it now purely to have that as a meal.
They need that as a meal, yeah.
They need it as a meal, right? So they would use any means.
Mm.
They would take any species that comes out. Any size would suffice for them as well.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be fussy.
Mm-mm.
They wouldn't be fussy on anything for that sort of thing. And then also the interesting part is how they go about it. I know a lot of them, you see them using bamboo sticks.
Yes.
It's a nice long piece of bamboo. I got a line. The way it's tied and things like that is just amazing.
Yeah.
Nothing ever happens to it. You go to a sophisticated rod and reel.
Yeah, you'll even cut the
and
braid.
And you stand on a big boat there, and you cut braid,
yeah,
and this one will snap you. And these guys will take out anything from their waters, and nothing will snap them, nothing will break them, nothing will happen to them.
And that's the food for the day.
That's it.
An interesting thing that happened, as soon as he took the fish out, I was amazed. He immediately started, cutting into the where the gill plates are and letting the blood drain. And then he skinned it right there in front of me. He showed me how easy it is to just pull the skin off. So he was just left with this huge chunk of meat.
Meat, basically, yeah.
And I was amazed. And I asked him, now, what's the reason for that? So he says, no, that blood taste doesn't taste so lekker. So they like it drain out. And I know once I saw a white guy doing that. They do this with carp. With tuna especially, they do that. They bleed the fish so that the blood comes out. Do we have Luqman on the line? Okay. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Luqman.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mulana, and how are you, Adi?
Alhamdulillah, shukar.
Sounds a bit very fun.
Assalamu alaikum to the listeners as well.
Yeah, we can hear the water in the background.
Yeah, Luqman, why are you sounding so far away from us?
I wish it was what. probably just the wind. It's been blowing quite heavily since last night.
We will get someone to fill a glass of water if we can put it behind the phone.
Make it sound like a...
Make it sound like you're at the dam somewhere.
Like at the dam, gee.
Maybe Luqman can tell us about it. I mean, we know he knows how to catch fish. He knows how to sell stuff for fish. But now, does he know how to prepare the thing also, Adil?
Yeah.
Luqman, yeah, we were talking about this. Adil was saying last week at the dam when they were... Then how this guy caught this barber fish. And he cut on the sides of the gill so that the blood could drain out from the fish.
That, you know, we've been doing it, you know, we've learned it from our grandfather and our uncle.
Yeah.
That if you, you know, many people catch fish, and we've seen it time and again, where people will just fill a keep net, leave it for the whole day, and then towards the end of the day, you know, you're so tired, and then people don't know what to do with the fish, just take it home as it is. Then the fish really don't taste nice. The ideal thing you want to be doing is if you want to keep a few fish and make a meal out of it, is you've got to prepare it. I mean, you don't, you'll get much better tasting fish if you do what, like Adil mentioned, you know, we also learned cutting the gill story, where to bleed it out, so all the excess blood comes out. And then also to immediately gut it. You know, if you immediately gut your fish, take the stomachs out, and then put it straight away in your cooler on ice. Mm. That is the best way of having a very good and clean and nice eating or tasting fish. If you leave it, you know, just in the sun and just in your keep net or whatever, there's definite difference in the taste between the two. We also remember years back when Molateri was, you know, at its peak. There was one white customer that went with some of the guys fishing. And what he would do is he'd catch one fish, he'd gut it, clean it, put a bit of lemon juice, put it in his cooler box and put ice over it. Then he'd only fish again. He wouldn't do like what we or most guys normally do, is when the fish are biting, you know, you just try and catch as many. And then obviously most of them go to waste because you don't clean them. Guys just dump them or give them or just give it to anybody just to get rid of the fish. It's not that you caught fish to give people. You're just trying to get rid of it because you're going to get a big lecture at home. You can't dump it in the fridges or in the freezers. You just go to the nearest guys you get and just dump those fish. And that's not a good thing to do, you know. And it's a bad habit we've got where people go and just dump fish all over the shore. So what this guy would do is catch his fish, clean it, prepare it, put it in a cooler on ice. Then he would catch his second one, third one. When he had about four or five fish, he would be done fishing and start relaxing and getting ready to go home. So that is the best way to prepare fish, is like you guys are talking about, is to clean it on the spot just when you take it out of the water. Then it is going to taste better. Fortunately, nowadays, like, we've got a bass boat. So what we do is a bass boat's got a built-in aerator and live well. So what we do is we plug the live well, and when we come home, we did it on our last trip to the whoop. We had about four or five fish that we wanted to bring home. In the live well, when we get home, they still as fresh and swimming around in a live well like we put them in. So then we came home and obviously had them cleaned up at home, gutted straight into the freezer where they get nice and chilled. So that, if you've got a boat with a live well, that is also a good way of just bringing a few. But the wasted story that guys are doing, you know, loading cooler boxes of uncleaned fish, and that it's just a mess and a whole dirty exercise.
And the aunties at home don't really like that.
They don't like
it. Is it true that the fish, once it goes into that kip net and things like that, it builds up, it has that stress that people say, and because of that, it builds up some sort of acidic thing around its body? And they say that is one of the reasons why also you get a bit of a different taste if you allow that fish to die that way.
You will, definitely. There will be two. That's why I say the quicker you cut it and clean it versus leaving it all day stressed out, there's a definite taste in the difference. Same you'll find with whether you're hunting animals as well. If you injure an animal, you don't shoot it accurately, and you find it after a few hours, and then shoot it or whatever, that meat tastes totally different, and it's more tough, it's more hard, it's full of adrenaline compared to the animal that you shoot with a single shot kill to the head or neck. You'll find there's a definite. In actual fact, in one of the hunting magazines recently, they took photos of the different colors of meat. One that is shot instantly and killed and slaughtered versus a normal animal that's shot in a heart, lung, or badly shot. The meat that were from the animal that was shot quickly and killed and slaughtered was a lot lighter in color, more leaning towards the pinkish side. Whereas the meat from the animal that has been badly shot and not bled out after it wasn't even slaughtered was almost a dark reddish color meat.
Right.
So the same thing applies, I would imagine, the same, and I'm almost convinced that the same thing applies to fish as well.
I think it's the more humane thing to do, what you say. Rather than keeping the fish, to stress and suffer for such a long time, if you catch the fish and you know you want this fish, to immediately dispatch it and process it, like you say, and obviously the meat will even taste better. I've seen guys catch this tuna, you know, and then they process it immediately, and they even eat the sushi from there. Apparently, it's very good. I haven't tried that out. I want to try it.
Yeah, fresh and clean, you know, is always much better, and obviously being clean, working properly, treating even the animals, the fish and whatever properly is also all part of our deen, and we should encourage it. You know, let's not go, you know, people nowadays, it's a bragging rights story. People want to be, you know, we're not fishing a Premier League of fishing. every weekend you get certain people that, are bragging that they caught so many hundred fish or so many kilos of fish. Let's not go that route. You know, we're not there to brag. We're not there to boast. Just do your thing. Catch your few fish. Don't waste. And like we said, clean, prepare your fish properly. Mm. At the end of the day, you'll enjoy the meal better.
Okay, we're just going to go to the line. Look, one, stay with us. We've got a brother with us on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, brothers. You know, I wish I could say that it's a nice program, but with the water scarcity at the moment, I don't know. I don't know how you guys feel. I feel very guilty. I'm fishing for over 50 years. And when you go to the river and you see how small the dam has become, and you know that all the fish are concentrated, it becomes heartbreaking, brothers.
Definitely.
I mean, you know, if I were you, online, I would say to brothers, those who are going out for recreation and for boasting, please, after you catch the fish, put it back in the water. I think you must be watching these programs where the people go on the Caribbean and dive the fishing. And most of them are white guys, let's be honest about it. They're hell of a human. They catch the fish, even if it's a huge fish, they take it, they kiss it, and they put it back in the water. Mm. We go there for the, you know, just to show off. I caught so many carp. I caught an 8-pounder. I caught a 15-pounder. But we don't know. Really speaking, I asked one guy, why you caught such beautiful fish? What are you going to do with it? He said, no, I'll go home. I'll give it to the Malawis. I mean, that's not the point of fishing, brothers. It's un-Islamic. You find your fish to eat. So if guys are going out for sport, it's become, you know, it's makruh, actually. It's a guna. I'll listen and eat.
Very pertinent points coming there from listener, mashallah. Last week we did a program on the scarcity of water, and we were talking about how important it is. Yeah, Luqman, exactly what we are just talking about, basically. It's just to say that, let us not abuse,
water, the resources that we have, definitely.
It's very, very important. Crux, you know, whenever we've come on here and we've tried to promote, it's conserve, preserve. It's not about being wasteful. And that's what we should all try and do.
Definitely.
And then coming back to Ali was talking about catching the fish with a hand line.
Yeah.
It's, you often see it, if you just open your eyes when you're fishing on the side of the dams. And I remember many years ago, we were up at Azul, between Ermelo and Peter Atif.
And also, you know, we're on our boat with each guy got his 3 or 4 rods, so there's like 10 or 15 rods on a boat. Then we noticed this one youngster come down to the water's edge. He had, like you said, a piece of stick, a piece of line, not even maybe 5 meters long. And he had this was shiny. It looked like a piece of foil attached to his hook. That's all it was. And he just kept swinging his rod from side to side. And we saw him in front of us, you know, pull two or three big bass. At that time, probably 1.5 to 2.5 kilo easily. Took his 3 fish and walked on. He didn't even wait longer, nothing. He had a string, put his 3 fish, and you could see him. Look, they were at Razor, for those that went, you know, you can see the locals' houses not too far away from the water's edge. Took his fish and headed home. So, like that, you know, you don't have to have the most fanciest rod and reel to catch fish. You can catch it with a primitive way. In actual fact, one of my wife's nephews from Lanesia, a little boy by the name of Ishaq, went not long ago to that Ritfleet Zoo Farm, which is very near where we live. And I think they just went for an outing, and not even he didn't even take their fishing rod or whatever. And I must still interview him personally and get a chance to meet him. But just took a piece of stick, scratched around, and found a piece of line somewhere lying in a car or something. And his hook, I think he used his mother's scarf pin or something like that to make his hook. Yeah, I think that's probably what maybe he probably will hear. He can call to in and you can interview him. But just with that, a normal stick, a piece of line, and a scarf pin or pin bent into the shape of a hook, then he caught the fish. So fishing is not always about having the best and the greatest. You know, you can do it with any piece of line and hook. We, even when we were very small and grew up in Miaj Farm, you know, we were fortunate. We had quite a few dams that we could go and fish. And in the early days, that's what we used to do. You know, sometimes you don't even feel like taking a rod. Just take a piece of stick with a piece of line and small hooks. And we used to catch those little flay carpers. So it can be done. It's not impossible.
Thirsty. I think we need to get a hold of this youngster as well. Luqman, your side, any plans for the weekend?
Not anything serious. We'll see, inshallah. And it is coming into our busy time as well, inshallah. So we cut our fishing time a bit short. Inshallah, when we get a nice cap again, definitely fishing will be on. And the fishing is good for all those that want to go. You know, yesterday a guy showed us some photos of nice fish caught in the Vaal River. But the upper, you know, the section above the barrage, also beautiful carp, some nice barber, some nice mudfish. And then we've got, we've seen some good reports of tiger fishing in the upper Zambezi with some huge fish coming out. And then the 2 marlin competitions that were held now. The one, they didn't get to fish along because the weather was too bad. You know, they have very heavy winds. I think they managed to fish for a day and a bit. But some nice tuna came out, nice barracuda, 1 or 2 marlin. So the deep sea fishing is also starting to improve. We haven't heard anything happening on the surf itself. So if any brothers are fishing from the Durban area or north coast, south coast, they can just let us know what the fishing reports are. But generally, all-round fishing is good, and people must go. And while they, you know, continue remembering us, remembering the Ummah, and making dua for rain.
Yes, I think that's important. And you know, I think it was last week we said, I mean, when you physically are there and you witness it yourself, then you
realize
even more. It hurts you even more. And I think that dua you'd probably make more from the heart, and actually would hurt a person even more then.
Definitely. Luqman Mia from Solis Angler's Corner, Jazakallah so much. Inshallah, we'll chat with you again next week, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. What you said is so pertinent, because when you're there and you there's a river, but behind you, the grass is is brown and yellow, and it's November, and then you think to yourself, but what's everything happening? Should be green. I was there, the same place, last year at the same time,
and there's also
and it wasn't there. Just that, there's actually a slight flooding in the area. The rivers were, the water was coming out from the roads at that time, alhamdulillah, and there were like little big, huge puddles that were formed. I even remember taking the kids and showing them one particular puddle where the water had settled, and the water looked crystal clear, and I was showing them that in a survival situation, you can take that water and boil it, and you can drink it, you know.
Sure.
So,
and now when you see it,
and now everything is dried up. Everything is dried up, yeah. You can even see the animals.
Yes.
You can see that they are making a lot of sabr, if you want to say it in that way.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, you can see that. And we need to make a lot of dua, inshallah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to change the condition. Yeah, so like I said before, inshallah, we will be our next interview is going to be with Adil Matwadia. He's from Springs, but he's involved with the Murchos Fishing Club, and they've got a website called.
How's this? Oh, Islam is mother's scarfpin. Is a hook.
Now this is the lighty we need to talk to.
We need to get this lighty.
Yeah. We'll speak to Luqman, inshallah, in the week and see if we can get hold of him.
Even.
A scarfpin, a piece of line, and a stick. And you catch a fish with it. Now that's
a fisherman.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
You must use a big scarf pun that one.
Which one?
I don't know.
The scarf puns are so fancy that they must have looked like a lure.
I'm thinking.
Now next must time.
Have, that fish must have thought this one coming from Solis Angus is a very different type of one.
I'm actually thinking now with the fancy scarf puns around. Because I've seen the
movie. Like a spoon and a thing will look.
Yeah.
Coming out.
We're
going to
get into trouble. We're going to get into trouble.
Okay, let's go for a quick break. Okay, when we come back, inshallah, we'll
be talking to Adi.
Welcome back to Radio Islam International. It's now 8:45, and it is the Screaming Reels program. Well, this week, like we said, we focused a bit on primitive fishing. We spoke about how to gut that fish, how to have that fish, how to have that meal. Yes, of course, brother called in and spoke about conservation again. And we said, yes, this is very important, of course, without doubt. And not to forget, the most important thing is in the message right now is keep on making dua for rain. You see certain dams, I mean, you just see puddles of water. You see carcasses of the animals. And then you see by the wall area, for example, then you see
the
a little
line.
Bit of water where you know, okay, this should have been or was once a very big dam, you know, when you see that wall area or that puddle of water. Mm-hmm. But it's really sad to see it, and especially if you saw it previously and now you see it. And those dams that where the water levels have dropped, that is not like before where you said, it dropped a couple of meters. You know, not that type of thing. Here you're seeing a great loss. You're seeing a great loss. You're seeing a lot of water that has gone down comparatively to before now.
No, definitely. on the line with us now, we've got Adil Matwadia. Am I saying it right, Adil?
Kumji Adil. He's saying 100%.
You know, there's another Adil Kaji that we interview. He's one of the top fishermen that I know of. And then there's one Adil I know of. I look at him every day in the mirror. He's involved in the program. And now we've got another Adil, mashallah, that is involved in the fishing. How are you keeping?
Alhamdulillah, shukr with you guys, duas, and salamu alaikum to all the listeners also.
Adil, is it true that all you Adils like your fishing?
It seems like it's in our genes, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
When we got our names, it was like a fishing next to it in brackets. Adil fishing brackets. Like.
Adil, you've been doing a lot of promotion on social media regarding the new look website. We have featured Kapon before on the program. I think the last time we spoke to Safi.
Farad Safi, basically, he was running the site. He's from Roshni and Neres. I think a team for they were called Murchos Fishing Club.
Right.
And after a while, Farad had no time with promoting his site. And then I came across his site, and I knew Farad for years prior to that.
Mm.
So I got chatting to Farad, and I said to him, you know what, can I not just take over the site, or let me write some articles or whatever it may be. And he gave me permission. Thereafter, we got hacked about 5-6 times, and then Hessner, the hosting company, they actually shut us down completely.
Sure.
And for over about a year or so, we were just not active. And then through that, I managed to get some of these developers, web developers, and they had to try and extract all the data, and we launched the site, and then we had the whole look with it. And then basically in the beginning of this year, we got it back up and running, but I noticed that our users had dropped a lot, in a sense, because the site was down for that period of time.
Yeah.
Everybody had not known about the site, and we started back with the site. And then last week, this week on the 11th, we relaunched the new site, the new look, complete new look with it. And with the results, I decided to go with social media, because on Facebook we are there, kapom.co.za, or it's actually on Facebook, it's Team Kapom. And what we created on the site is that people don't want to keep logging on with different passwords and different usernames. So via the site, you can log on through Instagram, through Facebook, your Google accounts, you know, all the major accounts that people normally use. And that's what I decided. And I'm like, it's proven well already. With the Facebook page, that's been running about a month and a half now. And alhamdulillah, I just checked last night, we've got about 857 likes already on the site. So alhamdulillah, it's been pretty good in that sense.
Tell us, how do you prevent being hacked again? Or what proceeds, or what have you put in place?
Okay, the thing that we were running is the program behind was Joomla, and it was 1.5, and that's been outdated, so all the securities in place weren't there anymore with the upgrades of the site. Then they went to 2.5, and now they're 3.5. So now when we upgraded, we did 3.5, and that's got a hell of a lot of security in place from hackers. And the only other thing is that the capture codes that you find on my contact forms, etc., that you have to enter that in. The reason for that is because it picks up that you're a human by entering that code and not a robot. Because a lot of guys can put programs on and they hack into your system via that. And, you know, you have all this rubbish things that they start advertising on your site and stuff like that, which that's what was happening. And they hacked the site so badly in the last time that hasn't actually shut it down, because they were afraid that they were going to get hacked on other sites as well that they were hosting.
Yeah, it's like a huge virus.
Gee, they call it the Worm 32 or the Trojan virus. If they get in, they get in pinch, you know, then they try and bomb you out. And these guys are normally pretty jacked up in that sense, where they'll do every measure to prevent. In the last resort, they'll shut you down.
I'm just thinking, I don't mean to sound really weird here, but I'm just thinking now, we normally talk about phishing and bait, and here you've got a worm virus that was used to hack the phishing website, you see. So tech is also involved.
Ironic in that sense, and also with the phishing is in P-H-I-S-I-N-G, phishing in
phishing,
that way,
yes.
With worm and
so they use a lot of the angling terminology.
It just shows how important the bait is at the end of the day.
Very true.
Adil, I did go and look at the site. And I'm like, it's very good, very easy to maneuver around. You know, I remember checking Kapom before, like you said, when it was on. I like the sort of fishing community type of thing that you guys go for on there. It's excellent. Now, you are advertising some competition on the particular website at the moment. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, well, Yusuf and Mohammed, as well as Zubair's father, or Babugara as we know him, he's a cousin of mine, and the idea behind the whole competition was to launch the site officially, basically, on that competition.
Okay.
And also, they've put up chalets now at Mayat on the Val. So there was like a thing to create awareness for them and for us. So inshallah, we're going to host it on the 9th and 10th of January. We were thinking before that, but now with the Christmas business and everybody's too busy and they can't manage, etc., on a full 2 days. And I think January, people are much more relaxed in that sense. So that's why we took it on 9th and 10th. And also, being Maghrib timing a lot later gives the fishermen a lot more chance to fish and get in tune with whatever they want to do for the night, etc. So that was the whole procedure about it. What we're doing there is we're going to have 4 people per team, per peg. We got 12 pegs, and it's 150 rand per fisherman, and that's just basically to cover the 2 days' cost. There's no real money making out of the whole thing. It's just to cover the cost for us. using the facility at Mayet. And inshallah, from there, I'm going to try and get the bigger companies, and I hope you're listening, the stations and the anglers and all the different companies to see if they can help sponsor us with some prizes or something like that for the competition.
So you said it's going to be early January,
I think it's just before the schools even start. So we're trying to promote junior fishing, senior fishing. It's going to be a social fishing event. It's nothing hectic where you're going to get the guys that are fishing in leagues. Look, they will come. You'll get one or two per team. I can't stop that. But it's more of a very social event in the sense that we just need to promote fishing. Bottom line, it's just to promote the fishing and the sport of fishing.
Okay. What about contacting you regarding the competition? Is it exclusively through the website, or can somebody, is there a number to call? Or
no, I'll give my cell phone number as well, where people can either SMS me, WhatsApp me, phone me.
Okay.
Alternatively, on the website, which we prefer, and where it says next event right at the bottom, if you click on it, it says contact us, we'll take you into a contact form.
Right.
And if you fill it out, I get the email immediately, and with that, I can then email back. The rules and regulations and all of that with the forms to be filled out. But here's my phone number. It's 082-926-3914. The email address that you can contact us will be at info@kaphom.co.za. Or you can just SMS me or WhatsApp me on my number as well.
Give that number out again one more time, please, Ariel.
Sure, 082-926-3914. And this is an official invite to the team of Radio Islam, Maulana Sajjad and Adi yourself, to also join us, inshallah, on that weekend.
Amen.
Inshallah.
We're going to look forward to this one. We're going to go kapo.
Maulana Sajjad's got only one rule. He likes to have chops.
We'll organize the chop.
Yeah. I'll just stay with us on the line, because we got a call on the line. Perhaps it's related to something that you might have spoke. You can assist us then in answering. Let's go to the call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Maulana.
Yeah.
I just want to bring something to your public notice.
Mm-hmm.
The other morning on Tafsir, Maulana said that anything live, you are not allowed to pierce it with a hook. So either worm or any insect. Just keep that in mind. It's very important.
Jazakallah.
Inshallah. Very important what was mentioned. You know, lots of times we've spoken about this as well, and now with such a huge range of artificial lures, artificial baits there are out there, and they work really well. In fact, sometimes they're even more effective than using the live bait. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ariel, so inshallah, we'll chat with you in the near future.
That's just before the time we can.
Or maybe we can talk to you on the day when things are actually happening. But we wish you well, inshallah, with your website and the promoting the whatever it is that we do, conservation of water resources.
I didn't mind when you say we talk on the day. You mean like from the day?
Maybe we'll be there, inshallah. Who knows?
Why not do a live program from the dam?
You see,
an outside broadcast from,
we need
from
to do
Mayat, inshallah.
Yeah,
and you guys can do the whole thing and can interview everybody else who's actually joining onto the competition.
You see, we won't be able to fish in the community. We must interview.
Yeah, you see.
No, no. You'll allow to get the rod there. I'll look after your rod.
Yeah.
While you're doing the interview, how's that?
Inshallah, Maulana Sajjad. We will definitely consider it. Inshallah.
Sure.
But it was great talking to you, inshallah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a success. Ameen.
Ameen. Ameen. Zakala, so much for having me on the radio as well.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
That was Brother Adil Matwadia, another fishing Adil, if you want to call it that, involved with the website www.kaphom, that's kaphom.co.za.
Yeah, I think nowadays there is a lot of artificial lures. There are plenty things like that to use, and I think that is the norm.
Mm.
You know, comparatively, when we used to do fishing when we were much younger, I know you used to always stop here at the dump, as if, for example, in lands, buy your worms, take them with you. Very rarely you find people that are using live bait. Now, of course, one might ask a question: what happens deep sea fishing or certain species of fish you go to use? Another fish, or you got to use a bait. So then many times people allow it to die first, and then of course they use it, or they kill that thing first, and then they use it. So it's not used as live bait where you're piercing that insect or that fish or that animal directly, and then you're throwing it in basically. And besides that, then, I mean, mostly in your carp fishing, you're using your millipedes, you're using your bombs, you're using those sort of things. With your bass fishing, you're using your artificial lures mostly. With your yellow fishing, the flies that you're using. So it's mainly, if you really look at it, it's your bream or your carpa fishing that people are using worms generally. But like we said again, our fishing here in terms of carpa fishing has gone very down comparatively to before. Then you get artificial worms for that as well.
Yes.
Right. Then of course you kill the insect before you use it. And also, that also a lot of people are using different methods like puff and things like that as well. So there are plenty of alternatives.
There's no real excuse for that.
Plenty, but
we thank our listeners for calling in today. Very pertinent points have come up, alhamdulillah. The line
stays open.
The line stays open. Unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the program.
Yeah, you can.
But
call Faisal and give him some new stuff.
Next week, inshallah, if you want to share a story, we want to hear about. Okay, let's do this. Let's do this. Right. Let's make it a competition. Right.
Right. That okay. Story wheels like.
Yeah, I will find something. In my goodie bag.
In your toolbox,
To sponsor, yeah. Inshallah, if you give us a good story, we will check if it's a very, very good story. Inshallah, you'll get a little gift from Sisinde Survival Camp. Let's put it that way. Talking about that, I must say on air, alhamdulillah, we would like to thank Brother Ridwan Dokrat and his team from Sensation Angling Supplies, mashallah. They have come forward and they have come to support our program that we do with the youngsters, mashallah. And day before yesterday, we got our first shipment from them of 10 Okuma rods and reels that we are going to use when we do our courses in our fishing. A part of a survival camp, we do have a canoeing and we have fishing as well, which is done more on a free time basis, but I do it as a workshop with them as well, teach them. In fact, I did it with your son, if you remember, and he actually caught a fish.
Yeah, no, a long time now, you don't want to take us again.
Yeah, so that's the kind of thing that we do. That's the kind of thing you do. And alhamdulillah, now we are so fortunate that we actually have the tools to do this. And we want to thank them, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them a lot of barakat, inshallah, in what it is that they do.
Ameen.
And
that man is standing behind you with a rod in a reel. He's going to hook you out of your chair.
I thought he was going to hit me.
Yes, yes.
Hey, we're on time.
Faisal
Patel has got some very, very serious news to tell the rest of Radio Islamian. From my side, inshallah, Mawlana Sajjad Timbal, assalamu alaikum.
Next weekend,
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners.